Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm always happy to be with you. I'm glad for us to have the opportunity to study together from the Word of God. There are a couple of things that I want to say as we begin. First, I want to say to Jim Smith and all of the mission committee, thank you for the work that you do and putting together our mission and Harvest Sunday and seeing to it that mission works can be provided for, that we're able to so do. We're grateful to be able to have that opportunity, and we're glad someone organizes those things. And it takes somebody to do that. To be able to just handle all the requests. And that's not an easy thing to do, because there are just more requests for money than we have money. And so it's not always an easy job to do. And then I want to say good morning to you, because I wasn't here last week. I was with the Ray Hall family, had the privilege of being there with them, and we hand-delivered their directory to them. I wanted you to know that. And they were so thrilled to get all of that. They were looking forward to being able to read through all of the little notes that you wrote to them on your pages. That made their day. They introduced Rosemary and myself to everyone that walked by them as though we were King and Queen from Henderson, and we enjoyed in that and enjoyed a little time spending with them. So I bring that greeting to you about how grateful they were. And I want to mention to you, because I just think it's important to do this, there are a couple of families that I know that out in our community, for those of you that might know the Kobe Watson family. Kobe was killed in an accident yesterday, just a young family man. Here it is, December, very first Sunday of the month, as we head into the holiday season, and a young father has passed away. Pray for the Watson family. And then some good friends of ours in Huntsville, Joseph Hard and his wife, they also suffered the tragedy of the loss of their firstborn just a couple of hours or so after its birth, the Hardin family. So please be praying about them. And our own David Chenault, that's his name, isn't it? Yes. David Chenault, you know, they're away, but he is going to have some outpatient surgery on Tuesday. So please pray about David's upcoming surgery. And of course, I know you've heard the news at the passing of one of our presidents, President Bush, 41 as he's known by most, and the nation mourns at the loss of that person. I say all of that to say to you that as we enter in today, to a season that, you know, we just finished up with Thanksgiving, and now we're headed to barreling down to the Christmas holiday. And it's just sort of, as the song indicates, sometimes we think of it as the most wonderful time of the year. But that's not always true, is it? Because holidays is just, you know, usually intended to be a family kind of thing. And when tragedy strikes in families, we mourn sometimes on the holidays that our friends, our loved ones are not with us. And so I just remind you of that as we head into a time where I think is a really, really special opportunity for us to be the kind of example of the love of Christ to our community. And I hope you'll do that. I'm not indicating to you that it doesn't mean you're supposed to, not supposed to do that all the year round. I'm just saying that it's a heightened time, and when it is a maybe a very effective time to be able to say something to someone about the word of the Lord, that Jesus Christ died for all, that He is our Savior. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody says, Amen. That's what the Scripture says, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. When the psalmist is writing, Doug, over in 103, verses 1 and 2, he says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. What a great psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and, he says in verse 2, forget not His benefits. We don't want to forget what God provides for us. It's in that frame of mind that I want to say to you some things that I've said them before, but you've already forgotten about them. You'll remember them when I say them again. That's why the Scripture says, remind the brethren of these things. That's why Rosemary reminds me about what I'm supposed to do, about things that need to happen. Remember the kind of things that we're going to talk about today. John chapter 10 and verse 10. This is a verse you probably know for your own self. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life. I want you to think about that with me for a moment today. The abundant life. Life in abundance. Is everybody happy? Everybody glad? I'm not trying to say to you that there's not someone in the audience today that's not hurting. Maybe physically. Maybe it's emotionally. We've all got things that are weighing us down, and they discourage us. I understand all of that. I'm not trying to say that everything is a bed of roses all the time. But I heard a few amens. Is everybody happy? Some of you need to notify your face. Yeah. We need to let other people see the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. If I knew the author of this poem, I would tell you who it is. Maybe you know it. But I love it because of what it says. And it's entitled, It Shows in the Face. You don't have to tell if you work or play. You don't have to tell how you live each day. A tried, true barometer serves in its place. However you live, it shows in the face. The faults, the deceit that you wear in your heart will not stay inside where it first got its start. Sin you embody, but a thin veil of lace, what you wear in your heart, you will wear in your face. And if your life is unselfish, and if for others you live, not what you can get, but what you can give, if you live close to God and His infinite grace, you don't have to tell it, brother. It shows in the face. Isn't that great? And isn't that true? I mean, isn't it great to meet a smiling person and just a deacon? Anytime a grinning deacon approaches me, I'm worried. That means he's fixing to ask me something. And maybe that I ought to be doing. I'm just teasing. Listen, you know that you want to be able to be the kind of person that can do things and be a good influence. There's an old saying, that goes like this. I know my face ain't no star, but I don't mind it because I'm behind it. It's the ones in front that get the jar. You know, a lot of people seem to be that way. You know, they go ahead and go through life bearing whatever it is that's troubling them in their face. And so they're not really concerned about what other people are thinking about it. I've found this interesting in my preaching life that everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go today. Isn't that strange? I mean, I'm getting a busload to go today. Who wants to go? I love it. I suckered you into that by telling you nobody wants to. So you're just proving me it's wrong. But I hope, I pray, and you leave today, that some of the things that I say will help to remind you, to encourage you, that even though there are sadnesses in life, if you're still here and you're a Christian, you have everything to be looking forward to. You may be thinking that you're at the end of your life or you're at the end of some story or whatever. No, my friend, you're at the beginning. Being in Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that can ever happen. It's not a good attitude to go around showing other people the things that are really weighing you down. When Jesus says, "The thief cometh not but to steal." You know, that's the greatest thing he loves to steal is our joy. He loves to take it away. And sometimes it doesn't take very much for him to get it. Remember the great promise that Jesus has given to us. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly, in abundance, that God might be good to us. Paul states quite clearly in the book of Romans, or this one in Philippians, also in Romans 2, but Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." You finish it. You know it. And again, I say rejoice. In fact, we even sing that song, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I know that that's not always the easiest thing for you to accomplish to do, but it's what God is wanting us to be encouraged about. The Christian life is the greatest life ever to live while here on this earth. Let you and me, let us live it abundantly, fully. Now, how are we going to go about doing it? Well, I've got a few suggestions. You've heard them before. I mean, you know about them. We sing about them. But do we think about them like we ought to? Let's start with this one. How about doing this? How about counting your blessings? Not your troubles, not your problems. When you sit down with your friends, don't sit down to tell them your problems. Why don't you sit down with each other and say, "You know what? God has really blessed my life." Because I am certain, my friend, that you have been blessed by God. Is there anybody in this audience that's never been blessed by the Lord? If you're in Jesus Christ, certainly you understand that you have the greatest blessing of all. The blessing that goes beyond understanding. It passes all that you can even think of. That God would give us such a great, marvelous, everlasting life. There's nothing whatever the matter with me. Why, I'm just as healthy as I can be. I have arthritis in both of my knees, and when I talk with a wheeze. My pulse is weak, my blood is thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Arch supports, well, I have them for my feet, or I wouldn't be able to walk down the street. Sleep has denied me most every night. Every morning I'm a pitiful sight. My memory's failing, my head's in a spin. Well, I'm practically living on aspirin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. I think my liver's out of whack. I've got a pain, Jim, up in the back behind my back. I'm overweight and I can't get thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. The moral is, as that tale unfolds, that for you and me that just keep getting old, it's better to say I'm fine with a grin than to tell folks the real shape you're in. We've all got all of these things that bother us, weigh us down, sometimes just overcome us, collapse in the chair at night. But my friend, I've been blessed so incredibly well in my life. God has been so good to me. I know He's been good to you. In fact, I'm a firm believer that difficulties or problems in life are a sign of life. I only know of a few people in scattered places that don't have any problems. They're all 6 feet under. You can go out there and visit them if you want. They don't have any problems. They won't be that you go there, you won't hear no problems. Nobody's got one out there. And if that's so, and if you're one of those people that, you know, says or tells everybody, I'm fine and I don't have any problems, or I don't really have problems, you better go home today and ask God to give you a problem. You may be on your way out and you don't know it. Yeah, problems are a sign of life. For you to be able to go through life and approach life so you can face life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, and forget not His benefits. Go home, ask God to give you a problem to keep working on. Make a list today of your blessings, the things that are really good, the things you count upon. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all of the earth. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens? When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that Thou visitest him? Our God takes care of us by providing for us, and go home today. Make a long list of those marvelous blessings. And then learn this, brethren. Learn to live one day at a time. Do you know the Lord only promised us today? I mean, we're in the midst of it, aren't we? I mean, we're growing down. We're approaching noontime. I mean, it's going to be lunch before you know it. And then it'll be dinner. And then it'll be time to get in the sack and sleep. You hope. That's what your plans are. Live one day at a time. When James was writing in chapter 4, he says, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now I don't know about you, but I have a tough time overcoming worrying about stuff or being consumed with things that need to be done. And I believe it's wrong to worry. I believe the Bible teaches that, Jim, without a doubt. God's going to take care of everything, isn't it? In fact, he's going to stay up all night worrying about it. I don't know why I am, since he's going to take care of it. Yet I find myself still there. In Philippians chapter 4, you can read where Paul will write in verses 6 and 7. And I particularly like the New Century Version because it says, don't worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything that you need. Always give thanks, and God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, it will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then do this. That's how he ends this chapter, don't you? You know that. Think about the things that are true, things that are honorable, the things that are right, the things that are pure, the things that are beautiful, the things that are, well, are respected. And the peace of God will what? He will be with you. God will be with you. You know what? I heard this a long time ago. It's just simple as it all can be. Maybe I like it because I'm such a simpleton. But God allows U-turns. Is that right? Can I get an amen? God allows U-turns. There's no signs in God's pathway anywhere that doesn't let you make a U-turn. If you're on the highway, you better obey the signs, okay? That doesn't mean you turn, make a U-turn in front of somebody. But in life, God allows you to turn your direction around back toward Him anytime you want to do it. Count on it. Live one day at a time. When you need to change, make that change. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 27? You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. The 10 most powerful words, I believe, in all of Scripture is found in Romans 8 and verse 31. If God be for us. Now, you know, I like to read this. I like to be selfish about this when I read this. I say me. Sometimes I say Bob. If God is for Bob, do I believe that? Do you believe that? If God is for you, who can be against you? Well, that's a no-brainer. That's an easy answer. If God's for you, who can go against you? No one. Paul would say, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, go home today. Go home this evening. And if the Lord grants us tomorrow, I'm going to say to you, leap out of bed tomorrow. Now, some of you, don't take that literally. You'll hurt yourself, okay? Some of you may need to ease out and slide out, you know. But get out of bed tomorrow. When you leave to go to work, kiss your wife. Hug your kids if you got some. Hug somebody anyway. Go down to Herschel's and hug Miss Vicky. She will. You'd be glad to. Hug somebody. Tell your family you're going out today and you are going to be God's best. I'm going to be the best I can be today for the Lord. And then quote, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, you might even try this. Pray together. That might be a good thing. See if that makes a difference in your life. Now, you may not agree with this, but you would be wrong. I hope you'll overcome it, just like you said to me this morning, Doug. I hope that you'll overcome some of those things. Learn to say, I love you. I'm not talking about the cheap stuff. I'm talking about the good stuff. I'm talking about the reserve stuff. I'm talking about the stuff you just save for special people. Don't spare the love. Learn to be able to say, I love you. Say it to your spouse. Say it to your siblings. Say it to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Say it to the elders. Say it to the deacons. You might even throw in a preacher or two. Tell people you love them and mean it. The Bible teaches that. Let brotherly love continue, says the writer of the book of Hebrews. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what you accumulate, no matter what you may obtain, without love, this is the teaching of 1 Corinthians 13, without love, it's nothing. You just find out and ask people that have spent their life accumulating and collecting just where it got them. Because in the final end, whether or not you've loved anybody and people love you, that is what counts. That's what counts, is have people that love you and people that care about you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not selfish. It doesn't get upset with others. Am I hurting you yet? I mean, these are tough, ain't they? I mean, these just talk about where we live. And yet that's what love is all about. Love doesn't count the wrongs. It has no pleasure in the evils. Love accepts all things. It trusts things. It hopes and endures, and it never ends. Three things, my friend, continue forever. You can name them just like I can. Faith, hope, and love. Learn to go through life loving people. Now, I'm not telling you how you go about doing that. I'm not trying to give you the only way love is shown. You do it in your personality. That's fine. But don't go through life without learning to say it. People want to hear it. Yeah, I know it's good to show it. But learn to say it. You don't have to worry about the showing part if you learn to say it. Be a giver. I hope today we collect $1 million for mission work. We can just help everybody that asks us to help them go to mission field, to preach the Word of God, to encourage other people. Be a giver. You know, the book of Malachi talks about the curse. It's money. You know that, don't you? It's really the love of money, not money itself. In fact, money's a necessary thing. It's how we use it. It's how we think about it. It's how it, rather, it controls us. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's what God teaches us. In fact, He teaches, give and you will get. Don't be using that for the process of trying to make your bank account big. But when God says, if you give, I guarantee you, you will get something. God's going to see through that His promise comes about. I love the idea of that grinning thing. You know, you grin at people, and it's, some folks are just, you know, a natural thing. They just grin back. They don't know why you're grinning at them. Smile. Get something back. Brother E.W. McMillan sticks in my heart and in my mind always. He says, Bob, the only treasure that you ever keep is the treasure you give away. You think about that one. That's deep and spiritual thought right there. The only thing you ever keep is what you give away. It really is true, especially when it comes to loving folks. That's what Jesus did for us, isn't it? He loved us. As Jim read to us from the book of Romans, chapter 5, while we were yet sinners, Christ what? He died for us. He gave himself for us. He loved us. In spite of what people did to him, said about him, he gave. Then, my friend, do good. Be a person that goes about like Jesus did, doing good. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, that's Acts 10:38, Galatians 6 and verse 10, let us not grow weary in doing good. Or some of the newer versions say, well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Let's do good for each other. It doesn't get us anywhere to run each other down or criticize about what we're doing. It'll never help us unless we're the kind of people who want to go about doing God. And then, all of that ought to be put together with prayer. That, you want to live the abundant life. You've got to count your blessings. You've got to live one day at a time. You got to learn how to live. You got to learn how to give. Do good, and then please pray about it. You may think that that's just sort of a mindless or emotionless act. It's not. God is listening. And God responds. When Jesus was going to the marketplace to teach the Word of God, you go look it up and find out where he was the night before. He was on the mountain praying. He spent all night in prayer so he could go down to the marketplace, Jim, and teach them the Word of God. He knew it was going to take that kind of fortification for all of that to happen. That was what it was going to take to believe in it. We're told that if we pray in everything, Philippians 4 and verse 6, and that if we ask anything in the will of God, John 14 and verse 14, that God is listening to us. And in Matthew 21 and 22, he says, all things pray about. That's everything, anything, all things. Pray about them. And get them where they're doing us some great, great good. And then I'm going to tell you to do it now. Don't be a procrastinator. You see, if there's anything around that will kill your enthusiasm, it's procrastination. You know, your enthusiasm is just simply God in us. Everybody knows that indecision is a decision, don't you? Well, I'm thinking on it. Well, you're just not ready to decide. We explain it a number of ways. Our football coach used to say, do it even if it's wrong. He was trying to get us to act instead of just think. Man, you got to learn how to act. This is true not only in many phases of life, but especially the spiritual life. Brethren, do something. You may do it wrong the first or second time or third. You may do it wrong a lot. But God will help you to eventually start doing it right. Indecision and putting things off, procrastinating, will never ever keep that enthusiasm within you. And let me tell you the biggest problem, it's negative friends. If you've got a friend that's always negative, lose that person. You heard the preacher say it. Help them be positive. Tell them, when you start being positive around me, I'll be listening. But I don't want anybody draining my battery. Be positive. Be happy about things. Do things that will help you go. And I'm a firm believer in an organized day. God bless the person who invented post-it notes. Go in my office and you'll be in trouble. You'll have to wade through the post-it notes. They're all over the place. Now, I guarantee you, I don't look at all of them all the time. I should, but I don't. But my goodness, get something up there that will help you be organized. That's a key to being successful, is organizing your day. Dream it. Desire it. Make a decision to do it. Dare to do it. Change your life today. I've been preaching all year that we have the power to make the choice. Let God give you the abundant life by deciding today, I'm gonna do it. Gonna grin about it while I'm doing it. Gonna love it while I'm doing it. I'm gonna tell everybody that I've been blessed because I am doing it. Why don't you stand with us and come while we sing?